I introduced our series on the names of God in the same way that Charles Spurgeon began his Sunday morning sermon on January 7th, 1855. It was then that he said this: "The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. There is something exceedingly improving to the mind in a contemplation of the divinity. It is a subject so vast that all of our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than thoughts of God. But while the subject humbles the mind, it also expands it." Charles Spurgeon went on to say, "He who often thinks of God will have a larger mind than the man who simply plods around this narrow globe. The most excellent study for expanding the soul is the knowledge of the Godhead. Nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as a devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of the Deity. Plunge yourself into the Godhead's deepest sea, be lost in its immensity, and you shall come forth as from a couch of rest, refreshed and invigorated. I know nothing which can so comfort the soul, so calm the swelling billows of sorrow and grief, so speak peace to the winds of trial, as a devout musing upon the subject of the Godhead." And for the following weeks and months, we intend to study the Godhead, specifically the names of God. God's names are self-descriptive. That means God's names are not simply to identify him, but also meant to describe him. God's names reveal his nature and his character. God's names are not only self-descriptive, they're also self-designated. That is, God's names were not given to him by man, but primarily designated to him by himself. And part of God's progressive revelation of himself was to give himself names by which people, you and I, might know him. Our intent is to examine the names of God as he has progressively given them to us in the scriptures. And we, of course, must begin at the beginning in Genesis chapter number 1. And I invite you to join me there in Genesis chapter 1. The Hebrew word translated God in your English Bibles is the word Elohim. Elohim occurs 2,570 times in the scriptures, 32 times in the first chapter of Genesis alone. In fact, I would suggest that Genesis chapter 1 isn't so much about the creation as much as it is about the Creator, Elohim. And the first thing that we learn about Elohim is that he is the Creator. God is Creator. And God revealed himself to us as the creator of the universe. It was Elohim who spoke the world into existence. And allow me to read Genesis chapter 1 this evening. And as I do, I would like to substitute the Hebrew name Elohim for the English word God, so that we might know that Elohim is our creator. Will you indulge me with this? Follow as I read Genesis chapter number 1. "In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim was hovering over the face of the waters. Then Elohim said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and Elohim divided the light from the darkness. Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then Elohim said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then Elohim said, 'Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. And Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And Elohim saw that it was good. Then Elohim said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth.' And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Elohim set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then Elohim said, let the waters abound in abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So Elohim created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was And Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And Elohim made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. Then Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image, and the image of Elohim he created him. Male and female he created them. And then Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, and you get the picture. Is Genesis chapter 1 about the creation of the world? Or is it about the creator of the world? 32 times Elohim is named as the creator. Now, some don't believe this. Some think that we are the result of a cosmic accident. It started with a big bang, and then a polywog jumped out of a swimming hole, grew some legs, and became a man. But I assure you, it wasn't goo to you by way of the zoo. You are no kin to the monkey. Elohim created. Genesis 1 is not the only place that declares Elohim to be the creator. Consider this. Isaiah 45, 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is Elohim, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is no other. It was Jonah also who declared Jonah saying, I fear the Lord Elohim of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. Everybody, it seems, believes in God. But how many people believe in Elohim, the creator God of Genesis 1? Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It was Elohim, the mighty, powerful creator of the universe, who spoke so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Folks, we have a crisis in Christianity today, among many other crises. It's a crisis regarding creationism. And evangelicalism is in trouble, not because we distort some nuance of the last book of the Bible, Revelation, but because many deny the truth, the clear teaching of the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. It's not so much an assault on creation, you hear me. It's not so much an assault on creation or intelligent design, as much as it is upon the creator, Elohim God. And mainstream evangelical Christianity now embraces a variety of ideas about how the worlds came into existence, the gap theory, the day-age theory, theistic evolution, and all of these ideas are an assault on the creation? No, on the creator, Elohim. Elohim is creator. Elohim is also eternal. God is eternal. Being the father of four young children, it is my privilege to answer every question that they ask of me. Daddy, why do we have to wear our seatbelts? Good question, right? Well, so that if your mother is driving and you have an accident, that you will be safe. I'm just kidding. Daddy, how do you draw a picture of a rocket ship? Good question. Let me show you. Daddy, why do cats lick their fur? Good question. so they can cough up a hairball later. Daddy, where did God come from? Good question. Genesis 1, verse 1 is a simple declaration of Elohim's existence. It doesn't provide an explanation of origin. It simply states the fact God is. God always has been and always will be. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting Elohim, the Lord, is the creator of the ends of the earth." You see, he's not only creator, he is also eternal. Elohim. Jeremiah 10, verse 10, "But the Lord is the true Elohim. He is the living Elohim and everlasting King." Elohim's existence predates creation. He has always existed, always will. So that I propose to you that Elohim is eternal creator. Now, there's one more aspect of God's nature and character that I want to show you this evening. I think as revealed in the name Elohim. And then I want to give you an opportunity to interact with me in a moment. There's something very unique in the name Elohim. Elohim is in fact the plural of the singular Hebrew word for God, El. Elohim is El with the masculine plural ending in Hebrew. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but allow me to show this to you. The Hebrew name for God, the generic name for God, is El. From that name for God, we then also have the name Elohim. And if you look at the screen there, you will notice El, and then you will notice El in the name Elohim, reading from right to left. It is this plural masculine ending there, if you can see that on the screen, that presents to us the plurality of the name Elohim. And what does that plural name mean? I'll answer that for you in a moment. But also, because of the construct here, El can also be used in a compound sense. Consider these compound names for God. El meaning God. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Elyon, God Most High. El Roy, God who sees. El Olam, God Everlasting. El Gabor, God who is mighty. El Emet, God of truth. El HaKadosh, God who is holy. These are the compound names with El. So what does the plural name mean? The first name of God in the scriptures, Elohim, allows for plurality in the Godhead. Elohim is triune. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible makes it very clear, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Elohim, the Lord is one," Deuteronomy 6, part of the Shema there. However, a full reading of the scriptures teaches us that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are fully God. We're each intricately involved in Genesis chapter 1. Of course, Elohim was present as the eternal creator. Genesis 1 verse 2, if you have it laid open before you on your lap, explains that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters and is now involved in sustaining creation. Job says, "By his Spirit he made the heavens." John 1 3 makes it clear that Jesus, God the Son, was present and participated in creation. Colossians ascribes creation to Jesus Christ. So you see, the plural form of El makes provision for the Godhead before anybody understood the triune Godhead. Not that we understand it today fully, but provision is made for it in the plurality of the name Elohim. The best we can do is to picture it with this model, and I'm sure you've seen this model a number of occasions. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. However, the Father is not the Son. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. And this triunity, the triune Godhead, there is provision for that even in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, with the plural name Elohim. So then, and this is where I need you to help me, what do we do with all of this? If Elohim is creator, Elohim is eternal, Elohim is triune, what do we do with what we've learned this evening? The first point of the revelation of God to man in the name Elohim. What do we do with this? Somebody help me from the floor. Okay, honor. Good. Another one. Worship, obey. Good. Okay, proclaim and declare him as the creator. Good. I've got a scripture here I can present to you here. All nations whom you have made, the creator shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are Elohim. Now here's a more important question, perhaps. What if we don't honor and obey and worship and proclaim? What if we don't embrace Elohim as the creator, as the eternal, as the triune God? Then what? You've got nothing, okay? Everything else falls away, okay? People won't see Christ in our life, okay? There are implications. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. And I want to show you what happens if we don't respond in worship and honor and obedience, etc., etc., to God the Creator, God the Eternal, God the Triune. You're familiar with the text, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, the creation. Even his eternal... Okay, so let's find the elements. Let's find the elements here. We have Elohim the Creator here. We have him being eternal and the Godhead, the triunity of God, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. God gave them up. And you know the rest of the story. God Almighty, the powerful deity, Elohim, revealed himself in the first chapter of the Bible as the eternal triune creator. And we are compelled to worship and to trust and to obey and to believe and to honor and to proclaim Elohim. If we don't respond like that, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 1. And there are few men that I have heard unpack Romans chapter 1 as well as Pastor McLaughlin. And I'm sure that you have heard his exposition of this very text. I think it behooves us, as we begin the rediscovery of our great God as revealed in his names, to take this to heart. I want you to remember Elohim, because in the coming weeks, there will be a bit of review. Elohim is creator. Elohim is eternal. Elohim is triune. Let's pray. Father God, we bow our heads and our hearts before you as our Elohim. We acknowledge that you are the creator of all that is. We acknowledge that you are the eternal one. And God, we acknowledge that you are triune in the persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we worship you for who you are. We believe and trust you for who you are. And God, may we be careful also to proclaim and declare, forgive us for the occasions when we have not glorified you as God, when we were not thankful, when we were futile or vain in our thoughts and our hearts were darkened. I pray, God, that you would enlarge our hearts with a greater understanding of who you are as revealed in your names. In Jesus' name, amen.